There is a well-known saying of Augustine, the ancient church father and bishop, that I think very helpfully sums up what Hebrews chapter 11 is all about. Augustine said, "Faith is to believe what you do not see. The reward of faith is to see what you believe." Faith is to believe what you do not see. The reward of faith is to see what you believe. Speaking, of course, about the great glories of heaven we can look forward to when we will see these realities that we now only know by faith. I think that sums up the challenge and the great encouragement that we're given in this chapter. The challenge that we need to walk by faith, not by sight. That we must trust the Lord, even when everything may seem to be against us. But also there's a lot in this passage about the rewards, the blessings, the joys of life to come that we can look forward to, and that should spur us on and inspire us to keep going. There's a lot in Hebrews 11 about looking forward to that hope of everlasting life that is coming. And so tonight, as we focus on verses 5 and 6, and another great saint, another great man of faith, we're brought to Enoch. And Enoch is another example of a faithful saint who believed what he could not yet see. And these verses also tell us about the reward that he received through his faith. And to try to sum up what these verses say, I put it this way. He lived with resolute faith and received the reward. We're first encouraged, the reward his faith received. And then secondly, these verses challenge us to follow the example of his resolute faith. So if you look with me at these verses, the first thing that we're told about Enoch is by faith, he received the reward. The scripture says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. Now, what does that mean? It means that by faith, Enoch received everlasting life. He was taken. And it says that three times, so you know that's what's being emphasized. Three times. He was taken by God. I believe in the old King James translation, it says that he was translated. Translated. And I think that does help us get the sense of what being taken means. It's not just that he was taken from this place and this life and this earth, but he was taken to somewhere, to another place. He's taken from this realm to the kingdom of God. To God's presence, to the glory of God, to everlasting life. And that in his case, it was done in an extraordinary way. He did not see death. He didn't even die first, which is the normal pattern for all of humanity and for all believers. He was transported directly from this realm to the other, bypassing death. And just taken directly into the presence of God. An extraordinary, amazing end to his earthly life. And so he was taken to everlasting life. Now what Hebrews is referring to here is the record that we're given in Genesis chapter 5. If you'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 5. And what you'll see there in that chapter is that we're given a long genealogy of the sons of Adam. And of course, beginning with Adam himself. And then as you go down the list, down through centuries, the seventh son from Adam is Enoch. So it says in verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. In the ancient record of the scriptures, Enoch stands out as unique. He's unique in this genealogy. Because if you look at this genealogy, at all the names, how it's recorded, that there's a pattern to how the word of God records them. They all had children. In particular, the firstborn sons are named. And then that they lived so many more years. And then look at every other name on the list. And then they died. And there's all these different names of the line of Adam down through centuries. And it's a record of the sad effects of the fall, of the curse. Because each one dies. All sin, all die in Adam. But then with Enoch, it doesn't say that. It says he was not. He did not die as other men because God took him. And so Enoch was such a special godly man. God blessed him by removing him from the world without dying. He didn't know the suffering and the pains of death, but was taken. Now perhaps the closest thing we can compare it to in the scriptures is the way that Elijah the prophet did not die. You probably know from 2 Kings, it tells us that when it came time for his work was over, Elijah didn't die. But Elisha, his servant, and who would take on his mantle, saw as if angels were taking him up in a chariot until he was lost from sight. And again, directly translated, transported into the unseen, the invisible reality of heaven. As far as we know, these two men only have been given this extraordinary blessing. Now, their rising was, of course, prophetic, typological, of the even greater rising and ascension of the Lord Jesus himself. His rising is even greater because he rose out of death. In a sense, they were able to avoid it. He defeated death, rose out of it, and ascended into the very presence of God. And again, greater than them as servants, he ascends to the very throne of God to be exalted as Lord of all and to rule and to save. But in a small way, Enoch and Elijah and these remarkable miracles are pointing us forward to the Savior that they were somewhat like. As I say, those words in Hebrews in verse 5, they focus on that being taken three times, that he's taken. And so that's the focus of it, first of all, in the verse, this reward that he's given, this entrance into everlasting life. I mean, really, there's so much. Wouldn't you love to know about Enoch? Wouldn't you love to know about his life and the times that he was in? But there's so many mysteries and things that we're not told. But we are told this. Now, I call it a reward because verse 6 speaks of rewards. God rewards those who seek him. But we've got to be careful to understand what the scripture means by reward. And that it says, by faith, Enoch received this reward. By faith, he was taken. So clearly, by reward, the scripture here doesn't mean he deserved or earned this reward. Not at all. It's not saying Enoch was so holy and perfect, he somehow alone has merited everlasting life. It cannot be, because like all men born of Adam, he's a sinner, unworthy to enter the presence of God. Even though he was a very sanctified and holy man to an extraordinary degree, he's still a son of Adam. And he's under the curse and he's a sinner. We know from every page of scripture, the only way into the presence of God is through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the grace of what he's done for us and the power of his sacrifice. Remember last week we looked at that with Abel. It was through faith in the Lamb he was accepted by God. But it is actually the same point here. By faith, he received this eternal life. By faith, he received it as the free gift of the grace of God. By faith, he's resting on the work of the Lord Jesus, of the Lamb. Faith received this reward. Not his works, not his merits, not anything that he could boast about. And again, Hebrews is making the point to us, he's got the same faith as us. That's the whole point of the encouragement. Because he had this faith, he received eternal life. And it's all to assure us, having the same faith, we will receive the same blessing. You see, sometimes the scriptures, even the Lord himself in some of the parables, the scriptures will use the word reward to describe God's gifts and his salvation. But they mean it in the sense that if God has promised certain things as the result of having faith, faith is the instrument that receives them. Well, then in a broad sense, they're rewards. God bestowing on us what he has promised once that condition of faith is met. Not rewarded in the sense of earning it, but rewarded in the sense of it was promised and is now given. Faith, faith alone, in Christ alone, receives these most wondrous blessings and everlasting life from God. That's the faith Enoch had, to which God gives the reward. That same amazing prize is given to you and to me in Christ. It's the hope you can have tonight that one day you're going to enter into that same glory. I think almost certainly, unless the Lord returns soon and in our lifetimes, sat here in this room, we're not going to avoid death like Enoch will. Those who will be left at the Lord's return, who the saints still, they will experience the same thing. They'll be gathered up into the earth, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians. But probably for us here, it's ordained we're going to die. But at that moment, like Enoch, we're going to be taken. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Perhaps it is literally as the Lord describes it in some of the parables, that the angels will come and will gather you up and bring you into the presence of God and bring you to Christ. You're not going to be left behind. You'll be taken into heaven. By faith, we'll receive this amazing reward. We do not yet see it. But the life of faith is looking forward to this glory to come. As Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians, in a passage where he's talked about the many trials he's had to go through, the suffering he faces. He goes on in that letter to talk about the shipwrecks, the beatings, the betrayals, the poverty. But he knows there was that, even as the outer body decays, there was that eternal home waiting and prepared by God. And by faith, we live according to that reality. We live for it. We walk according to it. And so Enoch, from the very, very beginning, the very first pages of Scripture, is showing you that everlasting life was always what God had prepared for his saints. And we with the same faith will receive it. He's encouraging us. Battling, discouraged saint. Perhaps even if your very mortal body is failing you, you will be taken. It's a wonderful, wonderful word. But then the second important point, the other side of the coin, is Enoch is also an example to us of resolute faith. I mean that he faithfully persevered in faith all his life. He receives the reward because his faith proved to be true to the end. And again, remember the original purpose, the original context of this letter to the Hebrews. Is it sent first to Jewish Christians who under pressure are tempted to abandon the faith. There's persecution rising and they're tempted to go back from Christ and seek an easier life with a kind of Christless Judaism. And so to those saints, this letter from beginning to end is saying,
Have faith. Persevere. Keep going. Don't turn back. But keep faith to the end.
And that is very much the point that's being made with Enoch's example here. And it is exactly what we need to hear. Because we're living through a great falling away. There is a great falling away happening around us. And if we would enter into the reward, we must keep faith to the end. So as you look at the verse, you say, well, where does it say that? Why do I call it resolute faith? Well, first, because it says he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, what the scripture really means by that is he lived a consistent, upright, godly life of faith. You see, the writer to the Hebrews, as he does often, is quoting from the Septuagint translation of the Bible. That was a translation of the Old Testament into Greek in the time of the Lord and the apostles. The New Testament often alludes to or quotes, and it's clearly a very helpful translation of the Hebrew scriptures. And in the Hebrew scriptures, and in our English translations, Genesis says Enoch walked with God. The Septuagint translates that as Enoch pleased God. And the reason that's so helpful is because that translation is giving us an insight into what the scripture means by walked. Enoch walked with God means his conduct, his actions, his character, his life, his direction of travel, his daily pattern, is he was consistently in step with God. So he lived a genuinely holy life through faith. He ordered his life in a righteous way. He lived in fellowship with God. So in step with God, keeping his commandments. He's walking with him. If you could put it this way, Enoch didn't meander. He didn't stop and start as he went through life with God. He didn't stumble. He didn't take a detour through bypass meadow. He walked with God consistently and faithfully. And what is so commendable about that is, we'll just consider first, he walked with God for a very long time. He lived in the days before the flood. And the children of God were blessed with longer lifespans. I think however we might interpret some of the details of that, it's quite clear that close to the fall in the Garden of Eden, men had much longer lifespans. Perhaps the effects of sin were not as great. And Enoch lived for over 3 centuries. A godly life. I don't know about you, but I struggle to make it through 1 week sometimes being consistent. But for such a long time, he walked with God. And you begin to see why I say it's resolute faith. And also remember, he's living in the days leading up to the time of Noah. His son Methuselah lives right up to the flood. Now remember what the Bible says about the state of the world of that generation before the flood. That it was a time of unparalleled wickedness. So bad that it provokes God to flood the old world. As it says in Genesis 6, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually, and that the world was filled with violence and bloodshed. And we know how patient the Lord is. How bad must it have been that he sends the flood? And that's the time Enoch lived in, and yet he walked with God. This consistent holy life. He's a very bright light shining in a very dark time. Isn't that just remarkable? And the letter of Jude, there's a reference to Enoch there as well, tells us that Enoch was a faithful prophet. He spoke against his evil generation. And he warned them the judgment and the wrath of God was coming. Jude tells us he preached, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all." And so clearly he boldly stood for the truth. And he warns the world. He lived a godly life. This was all the fruit of his faith. This is why it's resolute faith. He was resolved. He walked with God. "Even if none go with me, I still will follow. Me against the world." And he kept in that faith to the end.
Again, I think there's tremendous encouragement in that for us. As the Puritans used to say, the best of Christians emerge in the worst of times. By the grace of God, when the world is falling apart, God will empower us and raise us to live holy lives pleasing to Him, to walk with Him. We can, by grace, walk like Enoch. We live in an evil time, but by faith, we can walk with God. Well, verse 6 in Hebrews speaks again about his committed, resolute faith in other ways too. It says, he who comes to God must believe that he is. Again, first that's describing Enoch and then calling us to follow his example. We must believe that he is. Now, this is actually, I think, one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible. Because again, actually, this is a phrase taken from the Septuagint, from Exodus and the burning bush. When the Lord revealed himself to Moses and he gives him the name of God. In the Hebrew, in our English Bibles, God says he's the great I am. And the way the Septuagint puts that is that he is the God who is. So understand, that's what's being referred to here. This verse is not just saying God exists, which is how most of the time it's taken. It's saying much, much more than that. It is referring to God's covenant name. His glory is the I am, who is, the all-sufficient God, who he will be for his people. The God who was and who is and who will be. The God without limit, the God who's the fire who needs no fuel, like the burning bush. And to say that you take God as the one who is, again, that's really saying it's your commitment to this God. To this God, to be in covenant with this God, who's this name. Again, the faith that's being spoken about is not just the faith that believes God is real. It's the faith that says you take the great I am as your God. That covenant faith, you could put it that way. The faith that rests on the I am and commits to him. That's the faith of Enoch. That's in the midst of a godless world, you take the Lord to be your God. And that's the faith, the committed decision, the commitment to the covenant of God in which Enoch had faith. Again, that's what it means, resolute faith. You commit to God wholeheartedly. You serve and worship him in covenant. You bind yourself to the Lord, the I am, forever. This is the faith that saves. That's the faith of Enoch. And the world and others will constantly be trying to pull us away and corrupt such faith. But resolute faith is loyal to the I am, to the end. It also says this faith believes this God rewards those who diligently seek him. Now the key word there is diligent. Enoch had a diligent faith, meaning a careful faith. Careful to obey all that God has said. And that you work at it. He sought for God. He grew in his knowledge of God. And again, it's telling us that there's a consistent pattern of walking with God by faith to the end. Not a standing still, not a waiting, but day by day, a pressing on of continuing to seek God and seek to do his will. Seeking to praise him when happy, seeking his grace when you sin. Seeking to understand, seeking him in prayer, seeking to grow to be more and more like the Savior. And so that's the challenge. If there's such a great reward, the example of Enoch says, keep that faith to the end, to enter that reward. This diligent, resolute life of faith will lead to this reward. And so there's great encouragement for us. And a great challenge. There's one final thought to draw to a conclusion. If your life could, when it comes to an end, if it had to be summed up with one phrase or one sentence, forgive me if it's a grim thought, but if there was something you wanted as one thing on your tombstone, what would you want that to be? To try to sum up who you were and what your life was about.
Well, what a great credit to Enoch. What's the sentence the scripture gives us that sums up this man? He walked with God. Wouldn't that be the most wonderful thing to say your life was about? If that was to be on your tombstone. He, she walked with God. And then was taken to the reward. Well, may that be an encouragement. Keep walking on, brothers and sisters. Keep walking on. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to your people in every generation. And the scriptures record for us this long history of your grace, generation after generation. And we thank you, Lord, for what you did in Enoch and the inspiring example he is to us. That even in the very worst of times, you gave him the grace to walk with you, and that he lived a holy and consistent life. Lord, may that be our ambition too. May that be the desire of our hearts. Oh Lord, grant to us the same grace. Teach us to walk with you, to keep the faith to the end, to order our lives in a way that pleases you. Help us, we pray, Lord, to keep the faith, even when many may not. And gracious Lord, what a wondrous reward you set before us, that we can enter into life, that you will take us to be with you. And that this is thanks to your great mercy in Christ. Please, Lord, keep us. May we keep the faith. To the glory of your name. Amen.